Good to be in the presence of the Lord in this house. We thank him for grace and mercy and all his blessings that he has bestowed upon us. We're so unworthy of his great blessings and the great promises of his word. But by his grace, we have been made partakers. Glory to God. Let's look to the Lord. I'm missing a few folks here locally this morning, but we're glad all of you that's tuned in, wherever you may be, worldwide or here locally, is tuned in by the radio and the airways. God bless you, and we ask God to bless you especially today. Lord, in Jesus' name, thank you for the word. Thank you for the message of truth. Thank you for the power of the Holy Ghost. And Lord, we ask you, God, in Jesus' name, anoint your word, anoint this message, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen and amen. When I found the Lord, I was so excited. It was so good. And I really was under the impression that everybody won this blessing. Years later, when I was filled with the Holy Ghost and in the church I attended, they said they believed in the Holy Ghost, but they didn't believe in it quite as much as they said they did. It was about six of us, including the pastor's wife, had received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and the pastor gave us a little room underneath the front stairway of the church, and wasn't big enough for all of us six to get in, and he said he was afraid this thing was spread through the church. Well, it won't spread if you don't want it to spread. In other words, God is a gentleman. He will not force himself on you in salvation. He will not force himself on you in the Holy Ghost. But I moved on into full gospel, and I really felt, just as I'd felt about salvation, I really felt this is so great, everybody's going to want it. Well, I was wrong again. A lot of folks don't want it, don't have nothing to do with it. And I've watched people shy away from the gospel. I've watched them shy away from me because I believed in the fullness of God's word. And I've watched all this for a lifetime. And I see it weekly. I see it daily. But there is a reason for this. First of all, Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2 says, your sins and your iniquities have separated you between you and your God. Now, the Bible says his ear is not deaf, his hand is not shortened. It's not that he can't hear you. It's not that he can't reach and save you. But understand something about the gospel. God made the gospel of a free will. You receive the things of God as you choose to. He don't cram it down your throat. He does not make you or force you, even though we will pay the consequences if we don't adhere to the word. We will fall into the awful pit if we don't accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I want to look in, first scripture comes to my attention, is over in 2 Corinthians in the 4th chapter. And it says these words here in verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Verse 4. In whom the God of this world had blinded their minds, of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine into them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Here Paul was making it real clear that this gospel is not hid. To the man or the woman that will believe, there's the key to it. We got to believe. All things are possible unto who? Unto him that believeth. We unlock the mysteries of God when we believe in God. When we believe in his word, it is revealed to us. and the Spirit of God brings it forth that we can understand it and know it. But he said this has took place, that the God and the gods of this world have blinded their eyes and have blinded their minds. See, we look at the country today and we say, why in the world can't somebody do something about it? Well, they're blind. They don't see it. We said, and we say, well, what's going on in the country and our crooked politician and the corruptness in the White House and every phase of our land? We say, why don't they see it? They're blinded to it. You can't snort cocaine, pop pills, and stay boozed up on something 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and see the understanding of what it's all about. It will not take place. It will not happen. It will not fulfill itself in your life if your life is full of sin and chaos. But when a man comes to God and he believes that he is and is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, God lets scales fall off their eyes. God lets the blindness loose from their mind, and they begin to see it and they begin to understand it. But it's impossible in the sinful condition, because the Bible said that the carnal mind is not subject unto God, neither can it be. It can't figure this thing out. It can't reason this thing out. But let me tell you something. When we draw nigh unto God, resist the devil, God will reveal himself unto us in the fullness of it. We're praying in this land today for revival. We're praying for miracles. But it won't happen until people humble themselves and pray before God. As God spoke over in the Old Testament, was relevant that day. It's still relevant today. If the people are called by name, will humble themselves and pray, God's going to hear from heaven. God's going to send revival. God's going to allow people's minds and eyes to be open. But that's what's happened in the church world today. Men and women have become so blind that they cannot see this thing. And as we look through the Word of God, we see an understanding here that God gives us over in Paul's writings. We find that here in verse 8, which none of the princes, this is in 1 Corinthians in the first chapter and in verse 8, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they knew it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. See, in the day that when Christ was here, if their minds had not been blinded and their eyes had not been blinded and their understanding had not been blinded, they wouldn't have crucified him. They didn't believe he was the Messiah. They didn't believe he was Christ. Verse 9 said, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered in the heart of man the things which God has prepared for him that love him. Verse 10, but God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. See, people that don't understand God, they think we're crazy. They think we're fanatics. They think that we're, you know, they'll make mockery of us. They'll make fun of us. They'll laugh at us because they say, well, they're on that religious kick or that religious trick, or they've got religion. Watch out or you'll get religion. They don't understand it. They don't understand us. And we're in a world, and I've said this, and I'll say it again. We, a lot of time, the devil, we that are Christians, the devil tries to make us believe that everybody knows about Christ. They don't. Most homes anymore, only thing you hear about Christ or God is when they curse him. And they don't have any understanding about it. That's the reason this place, this studio here today, that's the reason it's not packed out. Their eyes is blinded. Their eyes is blinded from seeing the truth and the reality of this thing. And then many of them, after they've come to church, some preachers told them, stay away from those wholeness people. Stay away from those people that talk in tongues. Get away from those people that are emotional. It's all right to be emotional in the ball game, but you can't show any emotions about redemption and salvation and all the things that are really the most important things of life. We've got to keep that silent, but we could hoop and holler and carry on at the car race, at the ball game, or wherever. We can be all the emotions we want, and there's nothing wrong with that. But somebody say, hallelujah, and they say, woo, that man's crazy, he's a fanatic. I'm glad I know what I'm crazy about. I'm glad I read the book and I found out Webster said that a fanatic is somebody that's sold out to one thing. Got their whole mind focused on one thing. Yes, I'm a Jesus fanatic. I'm a Jesus fanatic. I'm sold out on him. I'm sold out on the gospel. I'm sold out on his purpose and his cause. Now, there's a different thing about fanaticism. Being a fanatic is sold out to one purpose. Fanaticism is being irrational about it. You know, there's people, you know, I had a man that worked for my company years and years ago when we had a construction company, and I found him one morning down on the knoll of the hill down from our office building, sitting in the middle of the road on the white line reading his Bible. And his name was Patrick. I said, Patrick, what in the world are you doing? He said, God told me to come down here and sit in the middle of the road on the white line and read the Bible. I said, let me tell you something. God did not tell you that God is no idiot. I said, some idiot will come up the road and that'll be the end of Patrick. I said, get up. God did not tell you that. Well, see, if the devil can't blind you and stop you from knowing about Christ, then when you come in the realm of it, he will lead you off into some kind of fanaticism to wherein you miss all the major issues of what it's about. Somebody will tell you that it's all about joining the church. And many religions preach membership and they take membership classes. I've been criticized a whole lot in my ministry. I was with an organization for 13 years that formed a committee and researched me. And they said that I did not believe in Sunday school and I did not believe in church membership. Well, on Sunday school, I simply said, God is not coming back after the Sunday school. He's coming back after the church. We took a little church that was running a handful, and it was running close to 200 a couple months later. We had 100 saved in revivals. We had one revival that had 300 saved in. We had over 300 saved in the church. Over 600 people saved in 6 months. We'd come together and to have Sunday school, and the power of God would fall. When we had the Sunday school opening, instead of being able to divide the classes and go to classes, the power of God would fall and the halls would fill up and people would start getting saved, falling out in the Spirit, and receiving the Holy Ghost. Some of them began to grumble, and some of the folks that didn't see it and didn't understand it began to say, Brother Gold, don't you believe in Sunday school? I said, I believe in the gospel. I believe in Jesus Christ. And they kept making the issue out of it. And I said, hey, he's not coming to get to Sunday school. He's coming to get to church. Do you know there's not one place in the Word of God that endorses Sunday school? Search the book. Amen. May the 14th, 1959, I become saved, and I've been a scholar of the book ever since, and I've never found one place in the Word of God ever endorsed the Sunday school. Matter of fact, if you get right down to the nitty-gritty of this thing, it said that this was supposed to be a process that was to take place at home. And the younger women, the older women, was supposed to teach the younger women. And if the wives, they were supposed to learn from their husbands at home. I can make a better case proven that Sunday school should be something that's practiced at home. I can make a better case out of it. I can make more proof by the Word of God that Sunday school is something that a man and a wife should sit down with their kids and teach them the Bible and have Sunday school with them at home. Bible said, ever learning never comes to the knowledge of the truth. The matter, the problem with the modern day church is they all time trying to learn something, but they won't let the power of the Holy Ghost come in the church. Church is to come together and worship God and to have fellowship with God. But so many churches have made it an educational thing. Our schools, now then, we get down to business. I can also make a case that Sunday school really has become a substitute than what we should be doing every day of the week in our schools. You know, Little House on the Prairie. That's a model of where we come from. Where did they have their school? In the church. Everybody met at the church, the kids. And every day they was taught about God. They was taught about arithmetic, the three R's, reading, writing, and all that stuff. They was taught to count without taking their shoes off. Count with a pencil and paper. They was taught. But we replaced that with a hullabaloo saying that we come and evolve from an ape. And we deny the very existence of God and the creation of God whatsoever and all that God has done in this creation. We deny every bit of it in our public schools. And we let one woman, Madeline O'Hara, go headlong against every Christian in America, and they went and hid while she rose up and really triumphed and got God thrown out of the school. The church is the most sissified bunch of weaklings that's ever been on the face of this earth. The preachers of this day have got rubber backbones. They got bellies full of fish bones or steak or whatever, and they don't have God. Because if they had God, they'd rise up and take control and take charge. But we sent our kids off to the public school system and made it a babysitting establishment. And we dared the teachers to pray with the kids. We dared the teachers to tell them anything about God. And we teach that bunch of hullabaloo junk that's taught in the public school systems. And wonder why we got problems in this country. We have replaced the truth. We have replaced God with fables. Amen. Yes. Unless the gods of this earth. Amen. But by the Spirit, these deep things of God are searched, and we come in the understanding and the reality of it. See, if we go back just briefly and we touch on Acts, the second chapter, and we get down to the point here when Peter was anointed to preach on Pentecost. Therefore being, verse 33 of chapter 2, being by the right hand of God, exalted and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this, which ye know now, see and hear. Verse 34. For David is not ascended in the heavens, but he said himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, set thou on my right hand, unto I make all thou foes thou footstools. Verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Remember, we started with the verse of Scripture saying if they'd have knew who he was, they wouldn't have crucified him. Today, we find our Lord. Today, our congressmen, our senators, and the men and women that we have elected to go to represent us at Richmond and at our capital in Washington. All of these people, they have become blinded. And simply what they're doing is they're rejecting and crucifying Christ anew and afresh. This is what is happening. This is what is being fulfilled. Verse 4 of Ephesians, the first chapter, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. He goes on to say in verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through the blood and forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace. This thing has took place because men chose to believe. The things we're seeing take place in this country, the things that we're seeing take place, is a product of men and women that are blinded from seeing the gospel and seeing the truth. I heard a clip out of a program, a gospel program we air on our stations yesterday, and they were discussing how that bills are being passed in our House and Senate and Congress. Bills that have 1,000 and 2,000 pages, and they're giving them about 2 days prior to the passing of it. One of the representatives said, there is not time to read one of these bills, and you couldn't read it in 2 days anyway. And the Speaker of the House said, well, we just go ahead and pass it so we can get into it and figure out what it is. Our country is controlled by lobbyists and special interest group. Member of our state and members of our federal government, many of them, are bought and placed in the positions. They're given millions of dollars under the table to go along with the corruption that's already there. Our pharmaceutical companies, our insurance companies, and our medical profession, and all of these groups fill Washington, fill our state capital with lobbyists to get their way. It is literally a game and a mockery what our government has come to. They've left God out, and they've become blinded to reality. We need to put God back in our home. We need to put God back in our churches. We need to put God back in our schools. We need to put God back in our state government, and we need to put God back in our federal government. To quote Jay Leno, at the time we had all the things going on in the country and had tsunamis and everything and all this going on. Jay Leno made the statement. He said, I'm not for sure right now is the time that we should be trying to take God out of anything. Thank God we at least had a talk show host that had a little recognition that we better not be messing with God. We're not be messing with God. We as a country are messing with God. And I see in closing today, I see a picture. I see a vision. I see those men that was out in the street at Lot's door at Sodom and Gomorrah. And I see the two angels entering into Lot's house, and I seen these men lusting after these angels, even to the point that Lot had to offer maybe to send his daughters or send somebody out there to keep them away from these angels. Lot was kind of narrow-minded in that, because I'm like Jimmy Swaggart said one time, angels ain't no little primps, as the old saying goes. They're spiritual giants. They can handle the heat in the kitchen. They can take care of it. But God come down and smote these men in the streets of Sodom and Gomorrah and blinded them. And they wandered about and couldn't even find the door, couldn't even find their way. That's what I see in our state capital. That's what I see in our national capital. I see men that are blinded, stumbling around, trying to make her lost, trying to make these things and trying to do these things, and they're literally blinded and they can't even see what they're doing. Why were these men of Sodom and Gomorrah blinded? Because they'd had their chance, they'd spit in the face of God, they had mocked God, and they'd turned over to a reprobate mind and men burning with lust after men, and they'd forsaken God. What's happened in America today? What's happening right now while I speak? The same thing. And I see blindness. I see blindness. But God says there's a hope for you, that you can believe. And if you believe, this grace will lift you out of all this and set you free. God, in Jesus' name, we thank you for the truth. We thank you for the word. We thank you for the power of your anointing that drives this message into every country in the world, into every heart, every man and woman. Let people be converted. Let the gospel be revealed. Let the mystery from the foundation of the world be revealed to those that will believe. In Jesus' name we pray. Heal, set free, and delivers our prayer. Amen and amen.